Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, March 31st. I'm Ray Graff. Well, here it is. After all these years, a day I thought would never come. We finally get to the topic of sushi. We welcome Michael Marcus, proprietor and head sushi chef of Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington. You got a question about sushi? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. He has brought beautifully colorful, delicious items. I don't know what any of them are, but I'm pretty sure I've never seen them at the menu at the drive-thru at Arby's. But I have a feeling it's going to be pretty darn good. Give us a call at 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll meet Michael Marcus, taste some sushi, and talk about all sorts of things after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and today we welcome Michael Marcus to talk about sushi. For 27 years, Michael has been the proprietor and head sushi chef of Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington. Bizen features four distinctive genres of Japanese cuisine, including a wide variety of exotic sushi offerings, a complete dinner menu of grilled fish, tempura, salads, and noodles, all of which we'll talk about today if there's time. He teaches the way of sushi as a spiritual practice at the Kushi Institute, Kripalu and Omega. It's a great pleasure to have him on the show. This show has been in negotiation for years now, and frankly, I had, you know, a fair amount of trepidation about it, but here we are with Chef Michael Marcus, and we're going to talk to him and to you. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. Michael Marcus, how you doing?
I am so delighted to be with you here, Ray. And even though in your emails to me you called me the dreaded sushi chef,
I have no doubt that
we're going to overcome these phobias and attack the sushi that we prepared for you today. And before we start, lubrication. So we have some really delicious hot sake that I prepared. The first rule about sake is you never pour your own sake.
Really? So no. I have to pour yours? So you're in trouble,
dude. I pour you. You're my guest.
Why? Well, so, aren't you going to have some?
So we have the hot sake in one of these Bizen.
Okay, and we have to talk about these vessels. They are magnificent. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Oh, thank you very much.
The hot sake, and then you have to pour mine.
Okay, well, see, that's the problem. Until I have a couple sakis, my hands aren't that steady. All right, here we go.
I hold it.
Okay, you hold
you
it,
pour
and
it.
I pour it. Ah, you want a double?
No doubles allowed in Massachusetts.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Say when.
That's perfect. Thank you.
All right, brother. Adventures in radio here. Now, if I can find my seat again.
Now, remember, sake is different than wine. Wine is the grape. Sake is the rice.
Rice, absolutely.
It's a grain, so it's a completely different production method.
Okay. In the old days when I had this, we had little bottles that you put in water to warm it up. And we very small porcelain cups, and you did it as shots, but I assume I'm not drinking this as a shot.
This can be any way you want. Sipped.
Oh, well, then I'll do a shot.
Kanpai,
here we go.
Kanpai.
Here's to you, my friend. No, oh, that's good sake. Oh, delicious, man.
Sake.
Oh, you're like John Fisher from the CIA. Always. Oh, it's sake.
We have one shot to make this right.
All right, man. This is delicious. What are we drinking here?
We're drinking rice wine.
I know that, but
that's been made in northern Japan from very high quality rice, watered from deep in the ground, and then it's made into an alcohol, and fermentation begins when they add a yeast.
Right.
And so the same process as in wine, but you have it instead of grapes, you're having grain. And then the filtration process and the aging, the polishing, it's a very complicated process.
All right, before we get too far into the food, and full disclosure, everybody, what did I try?
The Ebiten shrimp tempura roll.
In a beautiful soy sauce that has a little spice.
Wasabi, kumasabi.
Oh my God, it's so good. No joke, it is delicious. And so that's one item, and now my fear level has gone down just a little bit. We're with Michael Marcus from Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. It's sushi today on Vox Pop. The number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. I tweeted out a picture of this main platter that you have done, and it's spectacular. Again, all of it, I don't know what any of it is, but it's beautiful, it's colorful. The platter itself is magnificent. Tell me about this and how this came to be.
Well, I came to the restaurant industry, Japanese cuisine, from a very different kind of perspective. Usually, a chef has a vision for a kind of a restaurant that he wants, certain ingredients, certain concepts, certain ways of making food, and introducing different elements of cuisine. I came through this whole process via the ceramic vessel, the pottery.
Really?
That's correct. I studied in Japan in an ancient pottery village called Bizen. They've been making this type of unglazed yakishime pottery for over 1,000 years.
So the color here, this is not painted. This is unglazed.
The pottery goes into the kiln, raw clay, and then gets exposed to 12 days and nights of continuous wood firing around the clock. And during that procedure, wood ash lands on the pottery. Straw is wrapped on the pottery. Charcoal is stoked on top of the pottery. And nothing happens until 2300 degrees, where an alchemy occurs. And the ash liquefies and melts on the pottery, creating all kinds of interesting hues, colors, gorgeous glazes, but all in an unglazed way.
Now, you studied there and you studied this. Is there a way to control the glazing process so you can control the colors? I see whatever you would call that thing. What is that?
This is a handheld bucket.
Okay.
Used for kaiseki cuisine. Kaiseki is the cuisine of the Japanese tea ceremony, which is an amazing subject we could talk about.
Sure.
But there's a giant kiln, 45 feet long. The chimney is 20 feet high. It gets fired for 12 days and nights. It's an inferno. If it wasn't contained in the kiln, you'd have a runaway fire on your hands.
Yeah.
And through these techniques and the history and the experience and this teaching of Bizen, you learn how to manipulate the fire, increase the temperature to 2300 degrees, and then introduce organic materials, charcoal, straw, ash, and then that melts. And without that melting process, you have nothing.
How did you, Michael Marcus, end up so drawn? I mean, clearly your accent, it might be Queens, might be down there somewhere. You're not from there, but how did you get drawn there and spend so much time to Japan? What was that one item that said, okay, this speaks to me?
Okay. So I was always enjoying pottery peripherally, seeing potters working. It looked very cool. You know, I was going to try my hand in it. Nothing happened. And then I felt really at one point in my life, I was at Queens College, by the way.
Uh-huh.
I felt guided by a mysterious hand that pushed me to a ceramics course that was being given that I was not allowed to take, but I told the guy, listen, I'm taking this course.
Yeah.
You better sign me up. It was my last term at Queens. He signed me up. I had an incredible time. I found out about an apprenticeship in the Berkshires, Richard Bennett in Great Barrington Pottery, now deceased, God rest his soul. And I spent 2 years as his apprentice. Now, he did not do Bizen ware. He did a different kind of pottery, beautifully glazed, from Japan. And then I discovered Bizen in the museums at the Met. They had these beautiful unglazed vessels that I absolutely felt. It was a physical, emotional experience.
That's amazing.
And I said, well, listen, I'm going to finish this apprenticeship. I'll build my own workshop in New York. I had a Joyous Spring Pottery in Soho. And then I sold everything I owned, went to Japan, and apprenticed myself in this little village between Kyoto and Hiroshima on the Inland Sea, Bizen.
So
and they were doing this kind of unglazed pottery, which is the most incredible wood-fired experience. 12 days uninterrupted firing. You're literally feeding wood into the kiln every few minutes. You're getting burnt by the fire. It's an impossible experience. You're showing charcoal into the inferno. You're getting blowback by the fire. And after 12 days and nights, you wait a week for it to cool. And then you open up the kiln and see if you got anything beautiful in there.
Well, you have beautiful stuff here. And when you are preparing this delicious food, which we'll talk about in a moment, what role is this playing, this serving ware, playing in the taste and in the presentation?
The taste of the food is in the dishes. It's a feast for the eyes. when you look at the food, and then you have the pottery also in the picture, you're getting a very emotional, visceral response to the colors and the drama that's on the piece. It has a landscape, and the landscape speaks to you. It did to me, and it made me so excited about this art form. I dropped everything I owned, and I went to Japan. And then learning how to fire the kilns, and learning how to be part of that whole, actually being able to come back to America, build a kiln of my own here. And then the next part of the equation, you build the kiln, you make the pots, you throw them, you trim them, you dry them, you load them into the kiln, and then you answer the equation by now putting food on those dishes that you've already made. It's almost like a ego trip that's beyond ego.
Oh, I love that. And by the way, great seg. We're going to take a break here, and then we will talk about the food with Michael Marcus from Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington. And we'll take your calls as well. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. Michael Marcus is here from Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington, and I'm learning all about presentation of these amazing foods that I'm looking at here. And you said something pretty profound here. This is all part of one thing.
There's a synthesis in Japanese cuisine that is pretty much ignored in the Western world, that there is a connection, there's a profound connection between the food that you eat and the utensil. So the taste of the food is actually in the dishes. When people finish their meal at Bizen, they're saying, please leave the plates. I finished my meal, but I'd like to enjoy the artistic aesthetic experience of having these vessels stay on the table. So that's really the impulse that creates this restaurant, Bizen. It's the combination of food and utensil. And you can see all these different shapes that you have here. It's a myriad of all kinds of ceramic vessels. I spent almost my whole career making dinnerware, tableware, plates, and then went on to vases and other large vessels. But this is my love, and that's why Bizen, the restaurant, was such an important part of my life.
Well, I mean, philosophically, probably, and spiritually, you could have stopped and just made these beautiful plates and bowls. But why did you take that next step and learn? Obviously, this is a skill that is not, it's not beginner stuff. How'd you learn all this and why?
So listen, I started out in 1984. It was our first firing, July 4th, 1984. We submerged ourselves in a spring outside the workshop, and we started the firing, 12-day firing. And it was an amazing thing. I tried to sell my pottery to restaurants that I loved in New York. Hatsuhana was one. Nobu, very famous restaurant, was one. And they all gave me the same response. Michael, these pots, we want them. We got to have them, but they're going to break. People are going to steal them. The dishwasher, he's going to go crazy. There'll be shards at the end of the day. So I needed to take it into my own hand. I needed to take control of my destiny and say, listen, I'm going to build my own restaurant. I'm not going to be able to make those kinds of excuses. It doesn't matter if they all break.
Do they all break?
The message is that I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it happen. I don't care what the ramifications are.
You know, just as a side note here, how do you wash these things?
Extreme delicacy.
Really?
Care, lovingly, by hand. And that's what this restaurant was all about. If I just make it into a, you know, plastic paper restaurant,
it's pretty cool. No, I mean, I don't think we've ever had anything quite this pretty on this table here. So that's great. All right, let's try a little food. I tried this, the shrimp. What'd you call it?
That's ebiten. Shrimp in Japan is ebiten.
So delicious.
So shrimp is tempura. It's put on it with a batter. You deep fry it, and then we make rolls out of it.
I got a feeling this is the easiest one I'm going to try. Now, full disclosure, I mean, I don't eat raw meat. I mean, sure, I've chased down the occasional deer and had a couple nibbles when I'm really hungry, but I really don't. I've never had sushi.
Ray, knowing that this is a very, very big challenge for you, as a matter of fact.
The Ugly American, here we go.
The Ides of March came on March 31st this year for you,
right? That's right.
Not the 15th. So I tried to make it easy. So the next thing would be, if we wanted to go slow, would be the coconut shrimp tempura.
Okay, so that is...
The Valentine's Sweet Love. All right. So again, grab one of those and take
this guy?
That's it.
Okay. What's the red stuff?
Now, we have roe. We use roe.
That's fish eggs, yeah?
Masago fish eggs, flying fish eggs, and they make all these beautiful colors. Now, that's epitomized most by this middle roe, which is called the Yo-Yo Ma roe. And the reason we have a roe named Yo-Yo Ma is because we love the man.
Yeah, does he like this?
He comes to the restaurant, he says, make my food, Michael.
Okay.
Make my food.
It's very colorful, and these are all colored fish eggs on the top.
All different colored roes.
All right, this is not,
tastes like citrus, all different tastes. And inside, mango and tuna.
Oh, okay, and this...
That's coconut shrimp tempura with mango.
Am I dipping this?
You don't dip, but just
take a bite.
It's too good.
All right, say something.
Yo-Yo Ma, we're very delighted, and we're good friends, and he's the best guy in the universe. We know that. And so we named this roll Yo-Yo Ma after him because it has all the most beautiful colors of the rainbow. There's reds, there's blacks, there's yellows, there's greens. And inside is spicy tuna and mango and avocado. Well, we said, Yo-Yo, we built this restroom, this bathroom after you.
A restroom. Was he honored?
And I said, we invested a lot in this restroom. And I said, the only way we're going to name this restroom after you is if you compose the first potty cantata for solo cello.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. So he immediately said, Michael, I'll do it, but no flush. He came in with his Strad one day, sat on the potty in that bathroom, and played these mellifluous notes from his cello.
I've got to be honest with you, Michael. I'm trying to eat sushi here. I mean, geez, he's on a potty? Really?
And playing this beautiful music. I couldn't believe it. Oh. Now, he's given me permission to talk about it. So,
hey, man. What you gave me, and again, I'll ask you again and again because my short-term memory is pretty fried. This has a sweetness to it. Where's that coming
from?
That's
the coconut, baby.
Is that the coconut?
That's the coconut.
Really interesting food.
And it has eel. Now, I didn't want to say that until you tasted it. Now, eel is probably the most feared food, but the most delicious food. When you eat something that has eel in it, you say, what's that taste? What is that? But if I told you it has eel in it, you would be running down the street.
You make a great point. And by the way, our number here is 800-348-2551. If you want to talk to Michael Marcus of Vizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant and Sushi Bar, you make a great point about the eel. Years ago, I was doing a show on foraging, and the lady was excellent, genius on foraging. Got through it all, you know, whatever the clippings were, they were delicious. Last thing, you have to have some of this. And it was just an eel looking back at me from a plate. And I said, you know what? That's when we end the show. So you were very insightful not to tell me about the eel.
And just so that we make sure that we don't go backwards and regress, I prepared a unagi sushi for you.
What is that?
That is the same eel in the sushi form, nigiri sushi, which is the rice underneath.
Yeah.
So this can be easy. You have that beautiful sweet sushi rice, which is why they call it sushi, by the soup vinegar in the rice.
Yeah.
And you have a broiled eel. So it's cooked, it's crispy, it's sweet.
Do you want me to try the some more
pick
eel?
Pick it up and pop it.
Pick it up and pop it. Okay. Now, you shouldn't have told me about the eel, Michael. Got to be honest with you.
This is...
Amber Sickles is screening the calls today. Just get a look at what is about to happen on my face. You want something you like? Come on in. Here we go. This is eel.
Broiled.
Okay, good. 800. It's not raw eel.
It's
splendid. All right. Must be better. All right, here we go. Say something. I'm chewing.
Yes, so eel comes from the Sargasso Sea, all the eel. In Japan, they farm raise it in the rivers, and it's probably the most popular Japanese food is eel. So popular, in fact, that there's a day in August when the whole nation of Japan eats eel. Eel soup, eel bones, eel sushi, eel over rice. Every possible manifestation of eel is...
Eel has bones?
And little balls. And what eel does is it strengthens you in the summer when you're weak and you're stressed out, you're working hard, and that eel fortifies you.
My God, I feel stronger already. This email came in from Rachel in North Greenbush. Just wanted to write in and say how excited Rachel is that you're on the show. Bizen is her favorite restaurant. I lived in Stockbridge for 7 years, ate there regularly. Now I live near Troy. I still try to go whenever I'm back in the Berkshires. Also, a shout out to the wait staff at Bizen who have been there for several years and remember my order. Gindara, the Buddha roll, salmon sushi, and steamed greens with scallion dressings.
Ume scallion.
All right. Well,
pickled plum.
I don't see any accent on that. This is an email. Number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to the phones. Jim and Adams, you're on.
Yay, Ray.
Hey, how are you?
Yes, and Mr. Marcus, too. Hooray for you.
Thank you, thank you.
Your voice is a little low and modulated, and you seem to sometimes not be close
enough. Oh, that's because
to the microphone
he was getting up.
In and out
he was getting up to prepare food, Michael.
Yes.
Jim, he's fine now.
Okay. I remember seeing a program with Anthony Bourdain, the late chef, on his program on TV there, and he had gone to Japan to visit a chef, a Japanese gentleman who had a sushi restaurant. It was either New York or Chicago, I forget which, and then went back to his homeland to open up another establishment. And Anthony said to him, whatever the fellow's name is, you know, a lot of people seem to be confused about what sushi is really all about. He said, it's really all about the rice, correct? And the chef said, yes, it's all about the rice primarily.
Agree, Michael?
Ditto on that. Yes, definitely. The rice is the number one ingredient. We take great care in making the rice. It's a long process. We do not use sugar in our sushi rice. Most Japanese restaurants use sugar. We use organic rice syrup to sweeten the rice, and we use vinegar, rice vinegar, and then salt. So those are the three ingredients in what we call awase su. It's the juice that we use to make sushi rice.
Mm-hmm. On sushi, that is always all raw.
Sushi is a universe. There's no one thing that sushi is. I prepared the California roll here for Ray, some with a masago roe and some just with the rice and sesame seeds. So sushi is, like I said, it's too big to even describe. It's like a black hole and all the rice fell into it. You have reverse rolls with the rice on the outside. You have fat rolls with the seaweed on the outside. You have dragon rolls with the fish on the outside. You have nigiri sushi with a little ball of rice and little fillets of fish on there. That's called nigiri sushi.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then there's sashimi, which is my favorite. The sashimi is just the beautifully cut thin slices of raw fish that go very well with sake, because Japanese do not eat rice and eat and drink sake, because you're doubling down. You're drinking the sake and you're eating the nigiri sushi. They love sashimi and sake because you're going to drink the rice in the sake. You're
going to
drink the rice, and you're going to eat your beautiful sashimi, which is just raw fish.
Jim, thanks for the call. Michael Marcus is here from Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. This email came in to voxpop@wamc.org from Steve in Troy. I love sushi. I've always wondered how much of the product is fresh and whether some at the typical sushi restaurant is frozen. Maybe it varies depending on whether it's Metro New York or upstate. Certainly any place that serves uni must be getting it fresh, but unagi would be frozen? Just curious. That's from Steve.
Very good question, and thank you very much. We have to get into the conversation about aquaculture, which is how farmed fish is produced in all over the world. That's another conversation that's very important. Aquaculture is the future of sushi because we're depleting our planet, overfished, and you know that whole story. But aquaculture gives us a way of creating beautiful quality fish and doing it sustainably. And so we do have aquaculture. And then the other aspect of it is fishing in the ocean. It's overfished. It's almost impossible to get. So the farm-raised fish that Bizen uses is partially frozen and partially fresh. So like our yellowtail that Ray is going to eat next, this beautiful yellowtail with the scallions on it, hamachi it's called in Japanese.
Oh boy.
That's frozen like at 31 degrees flown over to the United States. The salmon has a parasite, okay?
You
cannot
eat
raw salmon unless you prepare it correctly. And there's a shimeru process in which the salmon is salted and then it's doused in vinegar and then it's frozen down to minus 20 degrees for at least 24 to 48 hours.
Uh-huh.
So salmon has the parasite. Mackerel has the parasite. Tuna does not. So tuna comes to us at, again, chilled but not frozen.
Mm-hmm.
The madai, the New Zealand snapper, which you're looking at here, comes to us cold but not frozen. The shrimp is frozen. So there are some things that are frozen, some things that are coming fresh. And that's the call of the that's my call as the owner of the restaurant. I want to bring as many fresh ingredients as we can to the public.
How do you vet the farms? We had somebody write in about farm-raised salmon and other stuff. Do you have a vetting process for some of these farms?
It's called due diligence.
Yeah.
And we look at their website. We look at their written materials. We ask our suppliers, how do they raise the salmon? I'll give you an example about salmon, how gnarly salmon can get. Coloring, fish coloring. So that beautiful orange color that you see, not real.
Huh.
They'll color it with a colorant. Then they have all the salmon swimming in their own excrement, really.
Right.
And it generates fish lice. So that's another big problem. So you have all these different categories and problems with farm-raised salmon.
Antibiotics?
Antibiotics, the whole gamut of things that they feed. And,
yeah.
And the food that they give them is, again, another factor. So we go to our supplier. We say, okay, who has the best salmon? Who raises it sustainably? That's the one we want. After that, we salt, vinegar, and freeze in our super freezer. Otherwise, you can't eat salmon. So when you go to a sushi restaurant, please ask them, are you freezing your salmon?
Interesting.
And they'll say, you know, it's too expensive. We don't have the time. We don't have the labor or whatever.
Yeah.
Sayonara.
We're joined by Michael Marcus today from Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington. You know, that's where our president, CEO, and political observer lives. Shartok stumble in from time to time?
You're not going to get me to divulge his secret sushi cravings.
You've got to tell. Okay, you have to tell us all. You have to tell us all.
And when he gets inebriated. Oh, did I say that?
Okay. He told me he doesn't even have a drink. So he goes in and has some sake.
Now, this man is squeaky clean. I cannot tell a lie.
All right, listen. We're going to take a break now, and you're going to tell me all the true stuff, and I'll try that yellowfin. 800-348-2551 is the number. Michael Marcus is here. It's a Food Friday. You got an email? voxpop@wamc.org. Okay, so during the break, I had some raw fish. I like it. I meant Zach, the engineer, is giving me a thumbs up. The number here is 800-348-2551. Michael Marcus is here from Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington. Not going to lie, Michael, very, very good. What did I just eat?
So we can talk about tuna. You had a species of tuna called bluefin.
Oh, bluefin.
Bluefin. That is the Cadillac. It's like Wagyu beef from Japan, the A5 Wagyu, that fatty.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah. Stuff is incredible. You grill it on the grill, and this is the equivalent of that quality, the A5 Wagyu. It's bluefin tuna. Now, let's talk about tuna real quick.
Okay.
You have all these varieties of tuna. You have the yellowfin, which is the lower grade. Then you have the big eye, bachi it's called in Japanese. That's the little fattier, medium grade, delicious red meat on there. And then the creme de la creme is the bluefin tuna. And in the bluefin, you just tasted the red part, the red part of the tuna, the back of the tuna. But then the best part is the Wagyu, the fatty tuna, which will just melt in your mouth. So I really would like you to try that. You probably will not be able to speak after that.
By the way, Fatty Tuna was my professional wrestling name. I don't know if you know that. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Amy in Deerfield, you're on.
Hello. I'm asking for the people who are eating, like I'm a Mediterranean diet, where the only protein we're eating is fish. And what questions should we be asking if we're going to eat shellfish, in particular scallops and lobster? I had some bad muscles about 25 years ago, and I've scarcely ate them since. So just wondering about questions about that. And can you comment on swordfish? I was told probably over two decades ago, don't eat swordfish because we've overeaten, overfished them. Can you make comments on those two things?
Great questions. Thank you very much. Raw seafood is a big problem. It's a real problem. You need to find out the source. You need to know your restaurant and what they're doing to make sure that they have the freshest quality oysters and scallops. And we serve raw scallops. So they come in a big shell, you know, those diver scallops. We extract them in front of the customer. And the best way of knowing if they're fresh or not is just by smelling them. If the shell is open, throw them out right away. You can tell a bad piece of fish by if the shell is open. So, you know, the most amazing thing about this sushi experience is if you're interested in like the carnivore or the keto diets, that where you can get this pure protein and fish that is just the purest quality. That's what makes sushi so interesting. It's not just throwing anything that you can on the table. You're getting you're finding the most incredibly fresh product and serving it to the people in a beautiful way right out of the ocean. Very, very fresh and delicious. So the usual ways you can tell, the smell is very, very big indication of bad seafood.
All right, Amy, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Food Friday today. It's sushi. Yes, it's been discussed for years. No, I never did a show like this. Michael Marcus is here, and he's made it all right so far. Michael is the proprietor and head sushi chef of Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant in Great Barrington. You've been there 27 years.
Overnight.
Amazing, man. A little different than Queens, eh?
It goes by quickly.
All right, this other one, the Cadillac with the fat. This one over here?
That is the Otoro. We call that Otoro. You're going to dip the fish part into your soy mixture.
That's interesting. So, again, this is a kind of a tradition. You do not dip the rice side in the soy.
Yes.
Interesting.
By the way, there's six punishable by death mistakes you can make.
Really?
Coming into a Japanese restaurant. I'm sorry to say, Ray, you've already committed five of them.
What is it, man?
So, he wanted so badly to dip his rice in there and just mess up his soy sauce.
But I didn't do it.
But yeah, because I put my life on the line.
All right, but there are five other ones that I did cross the line.
So the California roll, which I brought for you especially so you could dive into that dangerous death spiral.
What do you mean?
The California roll is very interesting. You notice they called it the California roll? This is an innovation that brings sushi from Japan and filters it through the American experience. That's why the California roll is so impressive. Before this invention of the California roll in California, they didn't really have sushi in America. This is what jump-started the whole process. So you've got to try a piece.
But hang on. You got to tell me what I did wrong. I mean, I did five things wrong.
You asked me if the fish was fresh. I mean, come on.
Hey, man, somebody wrote that, right?
I still have my knife here, okay?
Sushi knife. Oh, my gosh. Okay. By the way, you're not the first guest to threaten to kill me, all right? Just saying. The thing is, it's like, I don't know, from raw fish? You know, you're helping me. All right, that was one that I made a mistake. What else?
Well, mixing up that soy sauce and wasabi in the dish.
You told me to do it that way.
But then you put the rice in there and it becomes, you know, it becomes toxic.
It becomes toxic?
Yeah, because, you know, you get all these materials decomposing in your pristine soy dish.
Okay, see, this is the problem. I mean, there has to be some sort of written test before you go to a Japanese restaurant, right?
there is an amnesty. There's something you can do to.
All right, go ahead.
Is now we're going to move on to another one of these delicious things.
What's that?
Now I have prepared something that is my favorite sushi presentation.
Okay,
and that is the sea urchin.
What?
Sea urchin.
You sure?
Sea urchin is like going to the ocean and becoming part of the primordial ooze. What it was like thousands of years ago, to as a human, the human emerged from the ocean and became a standing erect figure on land. And when you eat uni, you recapitulate that experience of the human creature coming out of the ocean. You taste the brine, you taste the seawater, you taste all those elemental elements.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Can I have some more sake before this happens?
Very good.
Because I don't know. The sea urchin. All right, here we go.
Now,
here's sea looking urchin, at you, kid.
Sea urchin is very important to my life.
And that's a lemon. Hello, I know what that is. That's
we're
a lemon.
To prepare the sea urchin by spritzing a little bit of a lemon on there, which makes it much more palatable. And we're not going to be pussyfoot about it. We're going to imbibe this.
The whole thing?
We're just going to.
Dude, what? Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's sea urchin. And I eat the whole thing.
It is fantastic.
Really?
Yes.
This is your favorite thing?
That is it.
You want it?
I live and die.
All right, here we go. Amber's taking a picture. Here you go. You ready? Before and after. Before, and then after, you won't see me because I'll be under the desk. Here we go.
Go for it.
If my daughters are listening, you're going to pay for this, daughters. Here we go.
Close your eyes. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it tastes like chicken. No, that's actually good. Yeah, what? Wow.
And that's actually the sexual organs of the sea urchin.
All right, thank you. Let's take a call. 800-348-2551. Okay, I've earned my money today. Michael Marcus is here. Wendy in Monterey, help me out here.
Okay. Hi, Michael. It's Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. One of the things I was listening to was the time that you were firing up the kiln, and I remember so many of us in the community came out to help fire up the kiln and to watch this amazing process of the bizen. And I just wanted to say that Michael, besides creating amazing food, has also been part of creating wonderful community.
That's nice to say. You want to comment on that, Michael?
You know, I came to Monterey from Japan, directly from Japan. I built my kiln there, made a living there, was on the fire department, all that good stuff. I wake up in the morning, I look out the window, and I see the forest. And I cannot tell you how peaceful and lucky it makes me feel to be part of that community and to be in that environment. So thank you very much, Wendy.
Wendy, thanks a lot for the call. Have a great weekend. And you were a firefighter.
I was.
Most firefighters I know, they get done with the day, they have a couple of cold beers, they might have a ham and cheese sandwich. Well, what did they think about all this?
The reason I became a firefighter was to keep them away from my kiln.
Well, that's a good point. All right, Michael Marcus is here from Bizen Gourmet Japanese Restaurant, and I just ate the sexual organs of a sea urchin. Thanks a lot for that. Okay, note to self. Next time, we'll find out what's on the menu before the show begins. Ed and Saugerties, you're on.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
I want to ask Michael, we used to eat a lot of salmon. Not a lot, but if we had fish, it was mainly salmon or shrimp or maybe a whitefish. But we found this steelhead trout, which looks similar to the salmon fillet. And it's a delicious fish. And I was wondering what you thought of it, and have you ever tried it?
Yes, I've had it grilled many ways, and that comes from the lake, correct?
Yeah.
Right. In general, and this is an important thing to remember when you're preparing your own sushi, stay away from lake or river-grown fish in the sushi presentation.
Why?
They are laced with parasites.
Lace.
And if you hold a fish, you fillet the fish in half and you hold it up to the light, it's not a pretty picture. So that's why the ocean-bearing fish are more conducive and don't have the parasites that lake and river fish have.
Uh-huh.
And that's why with our salmon, even though it's from the ocean, it has a parasite that can get pretty gnarly. And so you want to stay away from that. Unless, of course, you eat a bizen. Well, you know, we salt, we vinegar, we freeze.
Okay.
And then
Well, what if Ed did that with a steelhead trout?
No.
No?
No.
Ed, what do you think?
Be my guest.
Well, what about, you said that's in the sushi mode, but what if it's cooked?
Oh, cooked, you're all set, my friend. Cooked, you're all set. No worries. All that stuff is killed in the cooking process. It's only when it's raw when it's a problem. And on that note,
oh, I got you.
I have some Tasmanian salmon here
That's
just screaming out to you. Right?
Okay, that's the orange fish.
That is looking so beautiful. It's been vinegared. It's been salted.
Okay, I was going to say, you've been talking about parasites for 15 minutes, and now, oh, try it. Try the salmon.
This
oh,
is actually the one you'll finish because it's so good.
Well, I can't. You know, I'm on the air. I can't chew. I told you before the show, right? I can't eat everything. I have little bites, right? Oh, you're
six punishable by death.
You know what? Okay, that's it. This is my studio, dang it. Rita in Massachusetts. Rita, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about pottery. My daughter lives in Kansas City, and every summer she and her friends would travel down to Arkansas to a big craft fair, and she started collecting up pottery. And recently she's told me that she's had this foul smell coming from her dishwasher that she couldn't figure out. She had a repairman come, thinking maybe there was garbage left in there and yada, yada. She gets it to the point where she realizes now that it's actually the pottery that is emitting this, like, foul, rotten egg smell. Can you give us any clue as to if those dishes are safe to eat after they're dishwashed? Should you not dishwash them?
Yeah,
foul smell?
Okay.
That's a very good question, dear. You know, pottery is a many splendored thing. You know, it's earthenware or it's stoneware of many different temperatures. And how you fire the pottery can determine if the pottery itself is actually vitrified, which it becomes stoneware, non-porous. So it will hold liquids, like the sake bottle holds liquids. A lot of pottery, and even without glaze, this bizen pottery, no glaze, it still holds liquids. But there is some pottery and that is porous, and it will receive the particles of food in those porous molecules of the vessel. And I am imagining that that's why it's emitting some kind of odor.
Mm.
So make sure when she buys pottery, collects pottery, that she understands the firing process and the porosity of the vessels.
Okay, Rita, thanks a lot for that one. Carlos in Manhattan. Carlos, you're on.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So I was just wondering what you guys thought about the difference between Korean hand rolls and sushi. I work in a Michelin star Korean restaurant that serves hand rolls, and I was just curious what you guys thought about that.
Tell me about your hand rolls. What do you put in your hand rolls?
So the restaurant I work at is called Mari, and we do a salmon and caviar hand roll, scallop with candied anchovy and fermented chili paste, cucumber, peppercress, mock goli vinaigrette. So we have others as well too, you know, anything from like A5 Wagyu to Yujung, like Korean pancake, but it's made with what they would call kim and not nori.
Okay.
Yeah, they're trying to spread Korean culture, but a lot of people, they see the menu and, you know, it kind of, the style of tasting menu is similar to omakase, but that's Japanese.
Okay.
Okay. Very good point. You know, I love the synergy of the Korean cuisine and the Japanese cuisine. Their countries are so enmeshed together in the good ways and bad ways, civil wars and bloodshed and horrible thing. They're right next to each other. But their cuisine is where they connect, the similarities in the cuisine. The hand roll is one of the great vehicles of Japanese cuisine. As a matter of fact, I was going to make Ray some hand rolls. I brought some hand roll.
Which one of the hand rolls?
So I would make them fresh right on the spot.
Oh,
right.
I see. Well, we're almost out of time.
Yeah. Well, that's
you got any more of the sea urchin?
The sea urchin, yeah. I brought that's going to be on me, Ray.
Okay.
So the hand roll is one of the most beautiful vehicles of sushi making, where you can put all kinds of ingredients. We do sea urchin and eel, sea urchin and scallops, sea urchin and squid, sea urchin and ikura, the salmon roll. That's the salmon roll. So, yes, I love that whole expression of Korean food in hand rolls, and it's very similar to what we do in Japanese cuisine, but you use Korean materials and we use Japanese.
All right, Michael, a couple of emails here. This one is from a fellow Monterey resident. When was the last time you fired your kiln at Joyous Springs? What's Joyous Springs?
Joyous Spring Pottery is the name of my ceramic studio in Monterey, Joyous Spring Pottery.
Yeah.
We have a spring. I told you we dipped in there the first firing. And it's been my name for all these years. The kiln firing, one of the two things had to go when we opened the restaurant. The restaurant was just an idea in the first, just to use my pottery and the food together in a synergistic way. And then the restaurant took off. It was a very beautiful affirmation, and using the pottery and having excellent quality ingredients, that's really what it was all about. So now the firing of the kiln is the restaurant. The restaurant is the firing. When you eat this food, you can see on some of my handmade dishes, that's the evolution of this form. And I'm very happy that I was able to segue into a restaurant. I love the firing. I dream about firing my kiln every night. But one thing had to go, and unfortunately, it was the kiln.
The other part of his question, and I apologize in advance for mispronouncing this. Could you please talk about the hijiki salad? Where do you source the seaweed? What's in the base and main ingredients in it?
Wow, you're asking for state secrets.
All right, well, you only got 40 seconds. We can blow it off if you want.
Hijiki, by the way, is that wonderful seaweed that comes from China and Japan. When they had the tsunami a number of years ago in north of Tokyo,
yeah,
it wiped out all the hijiki farmers. It all perished in the tsunami.
That's bad.
So we source the hijiki from China, and we have a very secret way, which I cannot divulge,
that's okay,
of making that hijiki. But we do use a sweetener, never sugar. We do use some soy sauce in there. It's cooked in a proprietal way, and just come back to be zen for it.
All right, man, we're about out of time, but I got to say, this was, it not only met my expectations, it was way above my expectations. So thank you for being here. How do people find you guys online and in person?
So I'll be very happy to give anybody the ingredients and recipes for the sushi rice, for the teriyaki sauce, which we had on our eel. We have a spicy sauce that we also use that goes well on some of these things. If they would mind emailing it at info@bzensushi.com.
bzensushi.com.
Info@bzensushi.com.
Okay, and you guys are in Great Barrington.
17 Railroad Street, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. 7 days we're open. And we'd love to have you. We have a special private rooms that go with the Japanese tea ceremony.
Cool.
Another conversation for another day.
We'll have to have you on again.
Thank you.
And that's it. But, you know, with the urchin, I'm not sure. You know, by the way, just quickly, I got to do underwriting here. How much money has Shartok dropped in that place over the years? 15 thou, 20 thou?
Is one of our esteemed customers, but never wrote a pati cantata, I'll tell you that.
Well, because you can't play it on a banjo, let's be honest. Michael Marcus, thanks for being here. Support comes from Union Hall Supply Company, serving the Capital Region with curated selection of men's apparel, accessories, and in-store tasting craft beer bar, unionhallsupplyco.com. At MKC Kitchen Cabinets, Inc., Troy, offering a range of cabinetry, including showplace cabinetry, countertops, design services, and showroom, mkckitchens.com. Thanks again to Michael Marcus. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to Zach, our engineer. Amber screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a splendid weekend.